This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the opening half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts, freshen out every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. And here in the Sunbury Motors studio, happy Thursday to you. Great to be joined by one of the best in the business. That's Dennis Dodd. Dennis, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Steve, I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
I hope you're doing well, by the way. Let's get to some of our favorite topics, and that would be I always refer to these now as the Kessler cases because he's the one that's central figure in all of them. But they are sitting down, and they've been instructed to go through settlement talks. What have you learned from those settlement talks, and is there any opening that they can get this done before the trial starts in January?
Well, the story that emerged this week is that the Power Four are attempting to institute a revenue-sharing plan with players. We don't know exactly who players, basketball, football, all of them, all of the minor sports, as a way to facilitate the settlement for the House case. Now, that doesn't necessarily settle the other cases, but which, as you said, Jeffrey Kessler has some of them. He doesn't have all of them. I think if they did settle this one, the House case is huge. It would indicate to a jury that there has been made progress in the antitrust area. What they want to do is avoid going to a jury. But they have to get House settled first because it goes to trial in January. We're 9 months away. That's in legal years, that's like a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do this week.
All right, and are there two parts to this? One is damages to those who have gone through this but never were compensated and those who are currently involved. Does that sound right?
The class, from what I've read, the class in House, the class of athletes, is about 7,000 who have the 2018 to 2020. That was the period they put in the lawsuit that weren't properly compensated for their NIL rights and money from the broadcast contract. And a lawsuit, they estimate that to be something like $1.4 billion. Okay. If they lose at trial, I'm just giving you an example here, automatically in U.S. law, antitrust, you lose at trial, damages for treble.
Right.
They would be on the hook, NCAA in the schools, for $4.2 billion. That would essentially end the NCAA. Go forward piece. They want to settle, like, just off the book. There's no money. I'm just trying to change the landscape with that lawsuit. These players get paid. So that's another reason why it's so important.
Yeah, when he means treble, this isn't the USFL case for a dollar that ended up at three.
No.
It's a little bit more.
No, not that.
No. Now, Trev Alberts, and it may have been talking to boosters, whomever, I don't know, mentioned that he threw out the numbers of 15 to 20 million per year that athletic departments would have to come up with. Dennis, what would that then mean for athletic departments who are sitting there and have probably done 3 to 5 year projections and never counted on this being in there?
Yeah, you must have read my story for a couple of weeks ago. That's exactly what I wrote about. How do ADs do future budgets with this hanging over their heads? And the answer was they can't. But that number is accurate, that they would be on the hook for $15 to $20 million each on average in the Power Four. I had written a story, gosh, earlier this year. These questions popped into my head. So how could they afford it? It's another massive expense. Well, they can't afford it. The athletic department can borrow from the school. The school could borrow from a bank if it's that big. And as I was told in research for this story, universities are absolutely great customers for banks because the banks know they're going to get their money back.
Right.
We're not talking about a year. It could be a 30-year note. It could be like, buying a house.
Yeah.
So they can afford it, state subsidies, what have you. The bigger issue is getting it done so they can progress. Even if they get this done, if they get this settled, these lawsuits settled, it doesn't stop the spigot of possible lawsuits. It doesn't stop NIL, and it doesn't stop collectives. So I've come to the conclusion, Steve, that I think, just cutting to the chase, it's going to have to be employee-employer relationship, collective bargaining. You can get rid of all this stuff. That'll take another few years probably, but this is a step.
And yes, I do read all your stuff. You know that.
Somebody does. You're the guy.
I'm the guy. Just like every once in a while you hear me do a game, you're the guy.
That's right.
So, Dennis, the next part is, I think it was the Fiesta Bowl hosted it, where they had the bowl reps. How important could collective bargaining be to solving their opt-out problem?
Well, this speaks to the reason why you need collective bargaining and an employee-employer relationship. You can't compel players to participate. No pro player has written into his contract, you have to play in the World Series. You have to play in the Stanley Cup. Why would you? Yeah, you'd be foolish. Your agency, you'd be foolish to do that. Why would you do that? Why hurt yourself? There's a legal term called a specific performance clause that applies here that you don't see in those contracts. Specific performance says it has nothing to do with money. It's something like if you have, let's say, a prenuptial agreement and you get divorced and one person gets the dog, you have to do that. That's a specific performance. No one can compel you to play. Now, can you write it into an agreement? Again, I think they'd be dumb to write that in there, because who is going to decide, for instance, if you're healthy enough to play? If you want the right to opt out, if you're Bryce Young and the decision for a playoff is $30 million guaranteed, number one choice, you might break your leg playing four extra games. I'm not endorsing it. I'm just saying those are the factors here. So when I saw that story, I said it was from two sources who absolutely are interested in players playing in bowls. The head of the bowls, Nick Carparelli, and Eric Moses, who's the head of the Fiesta Bowl. But I made some calls this morning. You can't compel players to participate.
What if they have a contract that would state that if in given year, whatever game we play in, you have to be available for?
Well, I think the collectives could do it, but
yeah.
And, if those players are getting any kind of representation at all, that would have to be scrutinized. And then you're talking about, to make it stick, every collective doing it. To do the deal. So, again, if I'm Caleb Williams, I don't have that in my deal because, I can go somewhere else and get the money where it's not in my deal. If I get up there and I'm the number one draft choice, we're probably talking about a very small amount of players.
Sure.
But I don't know if there's a way. I think there's a way. In fact, I know there's a way you can reward players for participating. I mean, there's already word out there that Fox was trying to put together a postseason basketball tournament with their TV partners, Big 12, Big 10, I forget who else, schools that didn't make the tournament.
Big East.
And then they would, Big East, and they, players would get money, NIL money, for participating. But that's not the same thing. We're talking about two different things.
Right. They are two different things. Traditionally, in your research, how tough a negotiator is Kessler?
He's the best. You don't want to be tangled up with him. This is a guy who, through many of the machinations we're talking about right now, created the NFLPA. Mm-hmm. And, I would submit, along with the Major League Baseball Players Association, maybe the most powerful labor union on earth, one of them. So when I called him the other night to get a comment on this revenue sharing thing, he didn't have a comment. He didn't want to speculate on it. But I think he sees a way here because, look, he's going to get whatever his money is, 30% or whatever it is. I think he wants these done too, but he is a change agent. He is going to be the guy when they write the book, if and when we have employee-employee relationships in college, who is going to be in the first sentence of the first chapter. He's a Marvin Miller type. Although Marvin Miller represented players, this guy he's representing players as well. He's going to be that change agent.
You need to have a change agent or agents on the other side, though. So who are the, change agents and the leaders on that side that can help make it happen so that he does become the ultimate change agent?
You mean agents that represent players?
I'm talking about the people that would negotiate the side to open the door to get this settled. Who's the leadership on that side?
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, I think you have to assume that the Big Ten and SEC are the leaders in that right now. In fact, I wrote that earlier this week because they've got the means and they've got the motivation. Obviously, the ACC and Big 12 are also involved. But, I think you can assume the two commissioners of those or the four commissioners of those leagues are involved, and then the general counsels of those leagues.
Tony Petitti has a wide range of in his background. How much can that help? Because he does have that wide range, whether it's TV or the negotiations and so forth.
I think I think him and Greg Sankey, in my personal opinion, are the leaders in this. They're very smart. They want to get this finalized. Whether it does to the point where there are no more massive lawsuits, I don't know. I think they are being progressive and taking the next step. You remember on February 1st, they announced that joint advisory group between the two conferences, and that was really ominous, I thought, at the time. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. They're not separating, but they're saying, we got this. And I think that's part of that. I was told the joint advisory group isn't involved in this, but the people I just described, I think, are involved in this to get this to the next level.
Have you had any thoughts at all or conversation with anybody about, there's been a lot of expansion. Texas and Oklahoma paid the way to get out for the last year. Oregon and Washington are now in. Are wondering about Florida State. What are if anything, are you hearing about Florida State?
Nothing lately, only that conceptually, if Florida State and Clemson get their way, then that provides a blueprint for the likes of Miami, maybe Virginia, North Carolina, and then the discussion becomes, is it a Big Three where the other schools sort of matriculate to the Big 12, and the ones I just mentioned are gobbled up by the Big Ten and SEC, or does the ACC continue to exist just in a diminished fashion? But there, from what I've read, and I don't, and all the court filings, it looks like there is a way out. It looks like name your price. There is a way they can buy out of this Florida State, and then the other ones would have to, they have to get out first, and then the SEC and Big Ten can move in. I don't see any reason why Florida State the SEC would want Florida State. They've got the state of Florida with Florida. Right. I'm sure Florida would be very against that. But Texas and Texas A&M are in the same conference, so
right,
never
exactly. Right, never say never. But there's also to me, for the conferences, there's a common sense element that comes into play. Texas, Oklahoma played 3 years in the Big 12, then bought out the last year. Right, Oregon and Washington came in a reduced number in the Big Ten. Common sense tells me that doesn't line up for Florida State of getting a jackpot if they get out.
No, that's why this is a thing. There are 12 years left in the ACC contract.
That's right.
I think ESPN can re-up. There's a look in 2027, I think.
Okay.
And look, if you're ESPN, why wouldn't you renew it? You've got those schools at a bargain basement price. That's why they signed the deal.
Right.
That's the difference. Texas and Oklahoma in 21 were 3 or 4 years out from the end of their contract with the Big 12 and the rights holders, and they in fact gave notice in May of that year before they left that we're not going to renew the grant of rights. So that should have told you something.
Sure.
With Florida, Pac-12, obviously it was collapsing around them.
Yeah.
With less than a year to go. So that's the huge difference. So there's a lot of money in rights fees left in 12 years.
A lot of money left. Dennis, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. I know you jumped on with us late, and we appreciate it as always. And yes, I do read everything.
You'll be held. It'll be a test at the end of the semester, Steve.
I'm looking forward to it. Bring it on. bring it on.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. You bet, Dennis. The outstanding Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. Yes, I do read everything he writes because he's just, there's certain people that are connected and have insight. He's got both. All right. We will come back this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.